Hey guys, what up? It's your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I got some good stuff for you guys today. We're actually going to take a little bit of a detour away from design like we have been, but I'm going to start talking a little bit about some pretty cool things that are about to happen in the next few months to make 2019 a year to remember. Let's get to it. All right, guys, that was the Almost with Say This Sooner. I haven't heard that song in a long time, and it's a great one. I'm a big fan of punk rock music, screamo, emo, whatever you want to call it. I like it. Makes me feel happy inside. Hey, anyways, let's talk about the things that are going to make 2019 such a great year. Number one, and I'm sure you guys already all know about this, Avengers Endgame. We're finally getting an end to 10 years worth of epic battles between some of our favorite comic book heroes, and probably the biggest weaving and entanglement of characters, period. I mean, I don't think there's another movie series out there that can claim this level of intricacy that Marvel has created, and, you know, partially thanks to Disney as well. I really hope that a lot of the theories that people have about the way Endgame is going to work aren't true. Number one, there is one specifically that I kind of hope is true, and I'll get to that one last, save the best for last kind of thing here. But the first one is time travel. At some point, it's possible that the Avengers can go back in time, whether it's through Doctor Strange and his magic and the Eye of Agamotto, or through somehow reutilizing Scott Lang's technology from Ant-Man to go into the quantum realm and kind of go backwards that way. I don't know how that's all going to work out, but they keep showing the Avengers in all the new trailers in a unified costume, which is kind of cool because many times in the comic books, they have unified characters in costumes, one of them being X-Men, of course. The bluish and gold, or the black and gold, or however, whatever color theory you want to look at. X-Force, I forget, Canada had a squad too, and that was a pretty cool one actually, which included Wolverine and Sabretooth, Puck, I think even Toad or the Black, I don't know. I don't want to get too far into the comics, but the one theory that I'm really hoping for, next to the whole quantum realm theories, is if Scott, and you can't avoid this theory because it makes the most sense. We kind of already killed off the Hulk, right? In the beginning, Thanos just freaking destroys him. And in Infinity War, you know, there's not many characters left at the end. Well, there's 50% of them, of course. But there's not many of them left when Thanos snaps his fingers. And that sucks because we lost a lot of good characters. But we do know that the Hulk is, in fact, still alive because he has not only a toy that just came out recently for Endgame, but and it shows him in this new iconic red and white kind of attire. But we also have seen in the trailers that, you know, Bruce Banner is still around somehow. So I don't know how that's all going to work out, but if the Hulk can't kill him from the outside, what if he could do it from the inside and then burst out screaming, "Hulk smash!" I don't know. It's just an idea, but bear with me. There are memes going around the internet of all of the Avengers going in. Now, mind you, it would only really take one if you do your math properly and you understand quantum physics, I guess. And not only quantum physics, but space in general and matter. But if the Avengers are going to go and shrink down to the size of a molecule or however far Scott Lang can take them, wouldn't it be smart to go inside Thanos and kill him from the inside, right? Now, that's the nice way of putting it. The memes have done it in a totally other, very twisted, way, and it's hilarious. I hope you guys have seen them. Basically, the Avengers go into Thanos's butthole and then expand. Or, well, in a couple of them, you know, they're just inside wreaking havoc. Hulk is bashing the shit out of his organs and stuff. Meanwhile, the other Avenger, like Hawkeye or Ronin in this case, is, you know, shooting arrows everywhere. But why wouldn't you just go straight to the brain and tell Hulk to get big? And then Hulk, you know, increases in size, eliminates the space in between, and Thanos' head just explodes and falls off. That's very possible. Another way that could happen, and it's only possible because Fox is now part of Disney, and thus making it the biggest conglomerate in the world. If that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. But anyways, Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler, time and time again, has done things where he disappears and then reappears on the shoulders of a character and then disappears again while holding their head. So Nightcrawler could just decapitate whoever he wants. It's just that easy. And if you understand his powers, it's possible. So if the X-Men ever got involved with Thanos, I would hope that that's the way they would go with it. I know it makes a much prettier story to go the route that they're going, and it adds to the 3-hour time length that that movie is going to be. But come on, at some point you just need to say, we're going through the butthole and we're going to end this right now. That's that. Another movie that's coming out, and it's this Friday, is Hellboy. I wanted so badly for Guillermo del Toro to continue holding on to that franchise and make the beautiful movies he makes. You want to argue me? Let's do it. Send me a message and tell me why Guillermo del Toro is a bad director, or why he just didn't, you know, fit the bill for Hellboy. Please. Because Ron Perlman's freaking awesome, especially as Hellboy. And the guy who they had play Abe Sapien, just as good. Phenomenal cast, great acting, great script. But I'm very much looking forward to David Harbour's new rendition of Hellboy. He wasn't as big as Ron Perlman was for that, so he required, you know, some prosthetics. And of course, yeah, Ron Perlman got some prosthetics as well, of, you know, including the giant, like, brick fist. But David Harbour pushed his ass to get as big as he did, and then he's just a great character. Have you seen Stranger Things? Because if you haven't, you need to go on Netflix and start binge-watching the crap out of that right now. David Harbour is just a freaking awesome actor, and I'm so happy he is taking over as Hellboy. I don't think there could have really been anybody else doing it. They probably would have passed it on as someone as bad as The Rock, and you know he does fine in some roles, but I'm sorry, the guy is just muscle to look at and a good laugh when it comes to things like Fast and the Furious. But anyway, I don't mean to put down The Rock, because he's a good guy, he does a lot of good things, and he's got a really good acting career. He's just not my fit for every character that's big, you know? So anyways, Hellboy, I'm looking forward to. All these remakes, and here's one of the artistic things that we could get to when it gets down to design and whatnot, but all of these reimaginings of Disney movies, are you guys okay with that? I'm not. I think there are some things that are just better left untouched. I understand the need to make things for the new generation. And let's be honest, we are going to eventually get a whole new slew of Harry Potter movies that are just remakes of the originals. It's going to happen. Look, we already got remakes of all of Tolkien's books. Yeah, they were pretty much just done in one or two cartoons under The Hobbit, but we got, what, 7 movies out of it, including the Hobbit movies? So it's going to happen. And what Disney is doing right now, take for instance Lion King. I promise you that movie is verbatim, scene by scene, exactly the way it is done in the original cartoon, for better or for worse. You know, I love Lion King, and I think it's interesting seeing it taken into 3D versus the 2D. But at the same time, let's look at Aladdin. Nobody is more iconic when it comes to cartoon characters than the genie, and played by Robin Williams, or voiced by Robin Williams. He just made that a memory for all generations. It doesn't matter who. And I don't think that you really need to mess with a good thing like that. But Disney's going to do it anyways. They've been doing it for years. We have Cinderella movies. We have Nutcracker movies. We have, we have so many other movies. We have a Little Mermaid one. We have, Dumbo just came out. It didn't do all that great. And they changed the story enough to where it was still recognizable as the original, but it took out all the racist stuff, apparently. And got rid of the creepy, drunken nightmare that Dumbo has after drinking that big, giant pool of alcohol. Did you guys know that was alcohol? Because as a little kid, I had no idea. I just thought that was fun juice. I'm drinking fun juice right now. It's called Monster Energy Juice, Mango Loco. It's awesome. This is not an advertisement for them, but if you're having a hankering for energy, go get some Mango Loco. It's good. I wish I was sponsored by Monster. I think they should sponsor me. Monster tends to sponsor anything that has to do with extreme sports. I think they should sponsor extreme podcasting. I'm just putting that out there. Monster, please, if you're listening to this, I will take your sponsorship and I will wave your giant M banner proudly. Quick side note. Did you guys know that the symbol that they have on the energy drink isn't just necessarily an M? But it's like the Sanskrit numerals for 666, essentially, but not really. If you really dig into it, they're not. But people have claimed and somewhat proven that they are. So that's, you know, kind of Monster, 666, Mark of the Beast, blah, blah, blah. It's just funny. It works out, but it doesn't work out. So do some investigation on your own. I'm gonna move on. I just watched Bumblebee last night, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We're at 12 minutes here in this segment. I'm going to start breaking up these podcasts in this segment so you guys can, you know, skip if you need to or if you feel like it. So bear with me. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. Thanks for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. I am your host, Ryan Sketch. So we were talking about Bumblebee and how I recently just watched that movie. I got to say, I know a lot of people give Michael Bay a lot of shit because he's so over the top and sometimes his stories are just dry and just over the top. Well, that's Michael Bay and that's fine. In this movie, he actually was just one of the producers. In fact, Steven Spielberg was the executive producer. So you can see things got shuffled enough where we have a new director. I can't remember his name. It's like Justin something, but he did a really good job. The movie is simplified in the sense that, I've been drinking this Monster Energy drink, Mango Loco. Yeah. So we have a movie that's in a storyline that's much more simplified where we're focusing on just two characters, Haley Steinfeld and Bee, or Bumblebee. And I believe his name is B137 or B15. I forget what the actual number was, but she calls him Bumblebee because, well, he is yellow and black like a bumblebee. So, but the relationship between the two is just nice. It's great. To be fair, Shia LaBeouf had a really good relationship with Bumblebee as well. But I think there's just something a little bit more special about Haley Steinfeld and Bee. And it's probably just because her life is a little bit more in turmoil. The times are different and she's not from a rich family. So this car meant the world to her and it changed her life. Yes, it changed Shia LaBeouf's life as well, but I don't know. Something about it felt more authentic. Plus, as time went on with the Transformers movies, you lost Shia LaBeouf and you ended up replacing it with Mark Wahlberg. And it did become a little bit so dramatic that it was hard to follow and hard to believe. But to be who I am and understand Transformers from that perspective, meaning I've owned pretty much all of the original toys. I still have a lot of them, actually. And I'm just a diehard fan of Transformers. It didn't matter that the story sucked so much. I was just there for the special effects and some of the name drops and the cameos. Well, Bumblebee takes the cameo thing and the name drops to a whole new level. If you watch the original ones, first of all, I got to tell you, they added so many characters from the original animated movie that it was just that much more fun. And every time I saw a new one, I just, oh my gosh, oh yeah. I was all over like a little giddy schoolboy, and it was great. But then they played this. And if you know what this is, like, it's such a heartfelt rock ballad from the 80s. It was great. And they had other characters like Soundwave and Starscream and Optimus Prime, all with their original voices, I believe. And, man, it just made the movie really enjoyable. So enjoyable, in fact, that I reflected on my PlayStation 4, which, by the way, I've had since 2013 when I got it. I went out and bought it for my birthday. I needed a new controller. So when I pre-ordered Bumblebee from the PlayStation store, they also gave me a code that I could use for a controller company, a custom controller company called SCUF, S-C-U-F. And they had a Bumblebee-themed one, which I was like, yeah, I love Transformers. Yes, please, I will buy one of yours. And then I saw the price tag was like $250 before the discount code. I ended up getting it for $199. I know that's just like, wow, why would you spend that much money on a remote control? Well, you're already spending $60 on a PlayStation 1 anyways, PlayStation-branded one. And this one allows you to customize the face shell, the triggers, the colors of the triggers, the texture on the dial pads and on the thumb pads on the analog controllers, the grip on the back of it. You can remove and enhance or decrease the vibration modules. It just seems like a controller that's going to last for a long time. And there's really no talk of a PlayStation 5 coming out anytime soon. So I figured, you know, it's worth the investment. And worst case scenario is my other PlayStation 4 controller still works. And I have a funny feeling, though, that this SCUF controller for the PS4 will probably work for the PS5 if it ever comes out, when it ever comes out. Hopefully it's forward compatible. I think it's backwards compatible. I don't know. I haven't tried. I don't have a PlayStation 3 or a PlayStation 2. I do have a PlayStation 1, though. It's one of the first years that they had it here in the United States. In fact, it is the first year. But I needed a new controller, and that seemed like the best thing to do at the time. So I got it, and I love it. I do want to talk about some cars, though, specifically one which actually would have made a really good Transformer. I hope somebody makes it eventually, but the Nissan Juke. Your guys' opinions on it, love it, hate it. I love it, and I'll tell you why. But if you want to shoot me a message on Anchor or do send me a message on the Instagram account, sketchbook_audio, let me know why you loved it or hated it. Because personally, I think it's a really strong practice in design and study in design. Whether it's good design or bad design or whatever, it's just fun design. You could tell with that car, somebody wanted to have fun with it. Somebody wanted it to make it fun for the owners, but also, you know, put their lifestyle, their excitement, and their feelings into that car. And it wasn't just something that was like everything else. It stood out. It stood out like a sore thumb, but it was unique. It was fun. It was practical. Just a good car. And it was killed off way before its time. And Nissan really could have afforded it as a niche vehicle because they do well selling all of their other vehicles and all these crossovers. And of course, you know, they started to focus more on the Sentra and the Ultima, the Maxima, and now everybody wants crossovers. So, you know, that's kind of what, putting your foot in your mouth. And, you know, they lost a really good crossover. However, there is word that Japan, well, Nissan will be redesigning or at least refreshing heavily the Juke for the Japanese market and the European market. Whether or not we get it here in the United States, I don't know. I'm hoping, praying, in fact, that at the New York City Auto Show, they show a refreshed or a redesigned model, because I kind of want one. It made sense. And I didn't have the money for the Nissan Juke Nismo R, which is the one I really wanted. You got a bigger turbocharged engine. You got the Alcantara racing bucket seats. You got a stick shift and a body kit that really made a loud car even louder. So that's what I'm hoping for. And the cool thing is, next week, which is what I wanted to talk about briefly, next week I will not be here in Detroit. I will be at the New York City Auto Show, bringing you live coverage from not only the auto show on press days, but also from the 16th Middlecott Sketch Battle, which is no longer called the Middlecott Sketch Battle Experiment. It is called the Middlecott Sketch Battle Pro. Why? Because the experiment is done. We already know it works. It's great. They raise a lot of money for different charities, and they're a lot of fun. And tons of people come and watch it, especially the Detroit one. The other ones that we have, like in Vegas and San Francisco and LA, yeah, people go. You know, it's like 100 people or so, and it's a little bit more of an intimate scenario. But when you come to the Detroit one, there's no room to walk. I don't know if you've ever seen it live on YouTube or on my Instagram or Facebook, but it's hard to walk around in the Detroit one. There's so many people there. And that's great, because all the money from the door entry fees and from a lot of from the drink sales, it all goes to really good charities. And this year is not going to be any different. The 16th one will be at the Jalopnik headquarters. And if you don't know Jalopnik, Jalopnik is a car website, much like Autoblog and Allpar. But these guys are kind of off their rocker. They take things to an extreme, and they have a lot of fun. They don't just bring you car news. They bring you a lot of other stuff. And their perspectives on everything is just more fun. It's very loose. They're allowed to be a little bit more edgy, and it's great. I'm watching a Armani commercial on Jalopnik, and it had Ryan Reynolds with a girl that wasn't Blake Lively. And I'm just like, gosh, man, that guy just gets everything. What it would be to be Ryan Reynolds. Oh, speaking of which, there was a contest, and I'll actually find out next Monday. There was a contest. If you submitted a video to cabletv.com, I believe, explaining why you were the best candidate to binge watch every single Marvel's the MCU movies. So that's Hulk and Iron Man, Thor, all of those, all the way up to Avengers, Infinity War. Binge watch them all within like 2 or 3 days before Endgame comes out. You get like $1,000 to do it, and then you get a bunch of free stuff, free swag that's Marvel related. And I did a video that I submitted. It's on YouTube. I don't know if I can. My YouTube handle or whatever, I guess just go to YouTube and search for R. Gomerak. Yeah, I know that's really stupid, but do that. And oh, here we go, my channel. So yeah, look under Ryan Gomerak, RyanGoimarac. I have a video on there called The Marvel Marathon Submission for Cable.tv. I've only got a measly 60 views. That sucks. But I had a lot of fun doing it, and maybe you guys will find it funny, but that's my little shout-out to Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool, because I am Deadpool-obsessed just a wee bit. So anyways, that's all I got for you guys. I can't wait until next week, because I can bring you so much cooler stuff live and with pictures, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So be good to one another between now and then, and always, really. Get your sketchbooks out, sketch, sketch, sketch. And, you know, if you love it, it's not a job, it's not a chore. It's just something you do because it's what you want to do, right? Also, just a quick side note, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being one of my listeners. If you're somebody who continues to listen to this time and time again, thank you. But I could really use your support monetarily. I'm not asking for much of anything. In fact, if you want to just donate $1 a month, that's cool with me. Go to anchor.fm and there's a way on there. You can search my name and then you can be a donator on a regular basis. You can set it up monthly. You can do it a bunch of other ways. I do have my commercials, which you're probably going to have to listen to one on this episode, but I have my commercials, which brings in some money, but I want to bring in more. I really want to build this up because the money, I already got my setup for my studio and everything. There's probably a couple little tiny things I need, but I'm not worried about that. What I want is the money to come in so I can start doing some good with it. There's some charities that I want to give it out to and support. And I need your guys' help as listeners. Look, I know you have 1,000 other different podcasts you could listen to and support. But if you got it in you, I appreciate it. And I just appreciate you being a listener too, because without seeing that there's listeners actually tuning into this, then, you know, I probably would have stopped a long time ago. But there are people dumb enough to listen. I mean, bored enough or just really excited about design as much as I am. And I really thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in. Last thing, there is a black hole in the sky. You heard me. There is a black hole somewhere in the sky, maybe millions of miles away, light years away. I don't know how that works, but it looks like Satan's butthole. From all the pictures I have seen, it is a giant red ring, and I think that's what they just need to call it. It's Satan's butthole. Apparently, this is a big deal because light doesn't really work the way it should. A black hole is a void, right? There's probably some time travel stuff going on in there. Some quantum physics and theories that I don't quite understand, but there shouldn't be a big giant red ring around it, but there is. And maybe there's some other mystical thing happening. I don't know. Maybe this will be the explanation to how Thanos gets his ass kicked. I don't know. We don't know. Scott Lang does go into the quantum realm, so we shall find out. Anyways, that's it. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Please tune in next week. Definitely check out, you know, sketchbook_audio, which is the name of my podcast, sketchbook_audio on Instagram. Send me some messages. Tag me in your post of your cool designs, whether it's comic art, people art, drawings of flowers, or drawings of cars. Let's talk about it. Let's have a discussion about it. I'm going to post some of my work up tonight. And, oh, one last thing. I have a website that's coming out. I have a friend that's working on my website, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. So please stay tuned. I will have it up very soon. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. Let's talk next week. Peace.